Turn with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, we find the account of the faith of five. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and there was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Of course, a couple of the noteworthy phrases here. But one of the great ones is when Jesus saw their faith. The faith included the person that was on the bed, but included the four who brought him to Jesus. When he saw their faith. We are always reminded of the fact that the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. We're reminded that how in his own town Jesus did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And we're reminded of so many times where the Lord responded to people. The man Jesus said to the man, nothing is impossible to him that believeth. And the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Faith is a very real test of our relationship with the Lord. And we want to be encouraged tonight about the importance of faith in our lives. Here we want to see some of the different aspects of the faith of these five men. First of all, we'd have to say that their faith was because they were persuaded of Jesus' ability, was founded upon their persuasion that Jesus was able to heal this man. We're reminded of Romans chapter 5, where it says of Abraham, it says, verse 20 of chapter 5, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, there's certainly a couple aspects. He was persuaded, these men were persuaded of the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal this man. And as we think of the patriarch Abraham, we realize that as well, his faith was not only founded upon the persuasion of God's ability to do it, but it was founded upon knowing that it was his will, because God had said that out of his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and God was going to keep his promise. Kind of see how those are related. It's founded in the knowledge of His will. And where do we find His will? We find His will in the Word of God. Where do we learn and are convinced of God's ability? We are convinced and persuaded of God's ability as we read the Word of God. You know, if your faith is wavering, and I do this periodically, I read the book of Mark. And the book of Mark is really a great faith builder. Because in the book of Mark, we see the Lord working. We see Him working. We find Him victorious over unclean spirits. We find Him accomplishing great things. And, you know, this world doesn't have much belief in God's ability. And, you know, just rubbing shoulders with the world, you're going to have your faith lessened. And we need to be in God's Word and reading God's Word, spending enough time in God's Word so that our faith can increase. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, that's an awful good reason to be reading the Bible, amen? Just so your faith can be increased. And I think there's probably a pretty good parallel there, isn't there, between how much a person reads the Bible and how much they're willing to trust God for. And so these men, their faith was because they were persuaded of His ability. Number two, because, and that ability is always based on knowledge of His Word. Secondly, we find that their faith was unhindered by obstacles. Unhindered by obstacles. So they're going to take this man to the house where Jesus was staying. And there was such a crowd, you know, they're not going to get in. They're not going to get in. And there's probably plenty of people there who have desperate needs, and they're right there, and but you know what should I say? This wasn't a problem to them. They were undeterred by the obstacles. You know, that is really one of the characteristics of faith. Doesn't matter what the obstacles are. And you know, when our faith is little, you get a little bit of an obstacle, and wow, that's it. It's over. You know? But no, these men, they were undeterred by the obstacles. And you know, you think about that. Isn't that amazing? It's when there are great obstacles, that's when we need faith. Right? But when there are great obstacles, that's when we are many times deterred and turn away and give up and quit. But their faith was undeterred by the obstacles. There wasn't a problem. Okay, well, there's a big crowd here. Well, that's not a problem. You know, they are going to persevere through ingenuity. Number three, they're going to persevere through ingenuity. Okay, let's see how we're going to solve this problem. We're going to get to Jesus one way or the other. And, of course, clay tile. I guess it would make a picture that the house perhaps, I'm not sure how, what the house was, but they had the ability to change part of the roof structure and get this fella down right in front of Jesus. And so they persevered through ingenuity. That's really faith. And, you know, faith doesn't quit. Faith keeps going forward. And faith doesn't stop at the obstacles. It finds another way. So it persevered through by ingenuity. I think we see also that the faith was obviously revealed a tremendous amount of trust and submission. How'd you like to be that guy on that bed? Hey, we're going to try something different. We're going to try something different. You know, when you're in that weakened condition as this fellow was, I think that you would typically be a little bit, you know, nervous of new situations and you know, maybe they're going to tip. Maybe they're going to cause this bed and me to tip out of this bed, you know, and fall. You know, there's all sorts of things that you could think about. You know, he was in a very precarious situation, but you know, he was he's able to trust. He was able to trust. He is able to trust his friends. He was able to submit to their ideas. You know, that faith was submissive and trusting. And boy, he was their faith caused him to be reliant upon them as he was reliant upon the Lord. Well, these fellas, now we don't know how it all started. This fella who had the palsy, he called his friends together and said, hey, you know what? Jesus is coming to town and he's going to be here. And you know what? I know that that's a solution. And can you imagine trying to find four people who would have that same kind of faith? You know, it's one thing to find one friend that has faith. Well, it's one thing to have faith yourself. It's another thing to have another person have faith, right? But to get four people, wow. And there we see the power in the unity of five. The power of unity of five. You know, when you get in a prayer group and you get someone or you have a Christian friend and there's just connection there, a spiritual connection there. And you know, in your conversation, you just have a connection and there's a sense that you can accomplish, and you can join together, you can accomplish things for God. You know, there isn't this hesitation, there isn't this doubting, there isn't this, you know, naysaying. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, let's go. You know, I mean, it's amazing when you can find one person that has that kind of faith, but try to find four. Wow. So you got the unity, the power of the unity of five. Now, as we think about that, we noticed that faith was noticed by the Lord. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, he couldn't help but see the guy. I somehow in my mind, the picture is that this guy is almost, you know, right in front of Jesus. Now, maybe that wasn't true, but somehow in my mind, you know, here's Jesus standing there and they let this guy down there right in front of him, you know. But the Bible says, it doesn't say he saw the man. It says he saw their, what? Faith. Now we just know this to be true, but Jesus noticed their faith. He noticed their faith. You know, sometimes we don't think about that, do we? But he noticed their faith. Jesus throughout the Bible, through the Gospels, you know, you notice how Jesus notices people's faith. And he'll say, you know, the centurion who said, you know, I'm not worthy to come to your house. I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. No way. But I tell you what, I'm a centurion. I know that when I give an order, it is done. And all you have to do is give the order and it's done. You don't have to even come to my house. And the Lord said, boy, I have not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. Notice, he notices faith. He notices our faith. Not only did he notice the faith, he responded to it. He saw their faith and he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, he responded to their faith. Of course, that's the message of the Bible, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? He's a responder to people's faith. Just kind of shows us the importance of having faith. Then, of course, that great phrase in Matthew 13, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He noticed their unbelief. He notices and he knows about our faith and he responds to our faith. Then he says, son, thy sins forgiven thee. Why did he say that? I mean, I guess there would be some different reasons or possibilities. One possibility is that his faith showed his repentance. His faith showed his repentance. Why didn't he say, you know, you're healed? I guess that I'd kind of expect that. But there was a bigger picture here. There was a bigger picture here. Now, I think this would be true of any case. Do you know that repentance is directly related to faith? The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now what's it saying? You know, it's hard for a person that's not right with God to have faith. It's hard for a person who's got sin in their life to have faith. Why? Because they know God's a holy God. And here is the holy Son of God. Everybody knows that this is the holy Son of God. Look at the miracles he's doing. Look at who he is. I'm not going to come into his presence with sin in my life. You know? I'm not going to look him in the eye when I'm living a double life. I'm not going to have confidence to come to him when all I have to have is one glance from him and I'm ashamed. How could I ask him anything? Kind of reminds us of James chapter 5. where it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. And that context is talking about a person has sin in their life, and you call the elders of the church. This ready person said, I'm forsaking my sin, and I'm trusting that God has used this trial of this sickness, and I'm ready to repent. And call the elders, and I'm confessing my sin, and I'm trusting that there's going to be healing here. People try to make it magic. It's not magic. James 5 isn't magic. It's repentant faith. And he showed his repentance and his turning from whatever sin was in his life by coming to the Holy Son of God in confidence. Coming to him in confidence. And you know, many times the reason that we don't have faith is because we aren't sold out for God. We live in a double life. We aren't living like we ought to. And we don't have faith because of it. You know, we'd like to play a game in our mind, you know, kind of, you know, that's what they have the big rock music in the mega churches for, because you don't have to think about your life. You don't have to think about your real relationship with God. You can just be, you know, all zoomed up with this false enthusiasm, with this false mysticism, and you can have so-called this mystical faith, but it's not faith at all. This man, he had repentant faith. And Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he was healed. What a great thing. He saw their faith. And as we think of this year, one of the key things is going to be faith. And in every life, every person, the issue is faith. Not blind faith. Faith in the God of the Bible. Amen? Faith in the God of the Bible that He can do what He wants to do. Change lives. Save souls. That's what He wants to do. Amen? And we need to have faith. I wonder how many could gather together in faith to do the will of God. You know, when we have so many opportunities, you know, our prayer groups need to be opportunity of faith, where we are exercising our faith. And you know, you're in a prayer group, and you can tell, can't you? You can kind of tell. You know, there's this guy in our group, and boy, I'm really glad that he's in our group, because you know, we connect when we pray. He's got faith. He's got zeal. He's got, you know, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's such a key. And you know, there's this reality that, you know, you can't fool God and you can't really fool yourself. Isn't that right? You can't really fool yourself. You know, prayer isn't fooling anybody. You know, real prayer is the real you praying to a real God. Amen? And the key issue is faith in our prayer, in our life. And as we think about our new year, I think the Lord would want us to be challenged to think about our faith. Our faith. the reality of our ability to trust the living God, to depend upon Him, to believe Him, to attempt great things for Him because we believe in His ability. We recognize we're in His will and we're not afraid to approach Him, but we are willingly to humbly approach Him because we have given ourselves to obey Him and to serve Him. The faith of five. I wonder what it looks like on this earth. You know what I mean? I wonder what it looks like in our day. The faith of five. That's be a great challenge for us to think about. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You tonight for this opportunity to consider the importance of our relationship with You. And Lord, we realize that one of the basic realities of our relationship with You is a real ability to trust You, to depend upon You, to seek You, to rely upon You, to answer, to attempt great things for You, expecting great things from You. And Lord, I pray that You would use this simple truth, situation, real life encounter of the Lord Jesus with these five men to stir us to consider our faith, the real faith that we have in our life. Heads bowed, may and eyes closed, perhaps the Lord has shown you something in your life as the reason why you don't have faith. And the Lord has pointed that out tonight, that having faith is or not having is a real thing, and there's something in your life that is keeping you from having the kind of faith you need. And tonight you want to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and obey Him, and so that you can approach Him with repentant faith. And the Lord is speaking to your heart about that tonight. Anyone here tonight? God has shown me something in my life that keeps me from having that faith that I need to have. Okay. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. Perhaps the Lord has just stirred your heart tonight, and you say, you know, I really recognize that the Lord is speaking in my heart tonight about one of the keys for my going forward as a Christian is this great need of faith. And I'm going to be calling on God to work in my life to give me greater faith so I can serve Him and please Him more in this new year. The Lord has dealt with you in that area tonight. Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank You for the opportunity that we can be challenged from Your word. And Lord, you see our hands, You know our needs. And Lord, sometimes we raise our hands feebly because we recognize how great of need that we have. But Lord, I pray that You would work in our lives. And may this account be more than a story, but might it be something that your Holy Spirit just continues to stir our hearts in the days ahead. And Lord, use it to prepare us. Lord, instead of wilting at difficulties, that we would be able to rise up and defeat the obstacles by that faith that we have that perseveres and presses on and finds the answer and gets the answer from you. Lord, may it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.